about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
To improve your reception of our signal on the long wave band, you could simply try lifting your radio set and turning it around a little bit to either the left or the right. Regular broadcasts will begin soon.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight.
You have to grow up. You have to act your age. Okay? You have to get it together.
Is it Heimer?
Oh my God! They killed Kimmy! You bastard!
You guys eat nuts?
God. Why now? Why?
I don't know.
I don't care, but why?
And now.
We'll be right back with more of Two White Guys Telling It Like It Is right after this.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 7th of September.
Isn't it the 9th,
yep,
though?
Sure is.
I thought it was more. It was closer to the 9th. I thought it was the 7th. It was a few days ago.
Take your pick.
What's time?
your pick. 7th, 9th, whatever you feel like.
Whatever.
You nailed it, Kevin.
Okay, hold on. Let's change that. I'm
yeah, if you want to change it just to the 9th.
Change
just,
that. So 9th is what we're going with?
Yeah, okay, it is ninth. Indeed the
well
ninth.
Said, Kevin.
Okay.
That is a start that is befitting of this show, especially today.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 9th of September.
Goddamn, Kevin.
How is everybody?
Great.
Good.
We are good.
Who did fun things over the weekend?
I saw It.
So did I.
Oh. How's It?
It was...
long?
Very long.
It was a long, yeah, sure.
Very long.
Very
2 hours
long.
And 49 minutes.
It was nothing but Brad Pitt driving, am I right?
That's the movie you thought was,
yeah,
too long.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it worth it to be that long?
It was good.
Could it have been better, shorter?
It could have been better, sure, shorter. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Everything could be better, shorter. We know this.
The only one who thought the ending was stupid?
Very much so.
I'm the only one?
No. I thought it was.
Oh, you did too.
I thought it was so dumb. And we can get into it off the air because I already wrote the perfect ending as I sat there angry. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
What?
100%.
I think you need to start a petition online to get them to remake the movie.
Get them to reshoot it?
Yes. Get them to reshoot it.
I will say this about the movie. I love seeing the interspersing of the It Chapter 1, mm-hmm, kids with them grown up 27 years
they
later.
They did that really well.
I thought that was wonderful. I thought Bill Hader was great. I thought everybody was great. Could have tightened it up and changed the ending. Maybe a little bit in the middle, too.
Did you guys dig Pennywise's son? That was a cool part. I'm just trying to... I didn't see it.
I don't...
Oh, you're just trying to play? Fit in?
Yeah, no. Trying to fit in.
When
Pennywise's
son, you're talking about the scene, Jensen, where they put him in at the end of the big game and he hadn't played all season long and he went in just, uh-huh, as kind of a pity thing and he ended up winning
scoring
the game with a big touchdown.
Yeah, and then he's on their shoulders and they're like, that's little Pennywise.
Rudy.
Little Pennywise.
Of Rudy, who was offsides. Oh. Anyway, but that's a whole other topic.
Allie, I was trying to think, it's very rare that you go to the movies and, yeah, it was Bill Hader the draw because of your intense love for him?
Bill Hader was a huge draw. It was my friend Jenna's birthday and, mm-hmm,
she's down with the clown.
She's like, wow
already.
I didn't hate it.
Whoop, whoop.
She literally was like, I don't know, I could like have a piece of cake and some coffee and see a movie. I'm like, 10:30 work, perfect. 10:30 a.m. on a Sunday.
Must have been crowded.
I actually put video up. It was just her.
Oh my
and I.
God.
Yeah. A horror movie at 10:30 in the morning.
And then I was getting scared because there were so many places for clowns to hide.
Oh, that's a good point.
Sure.
They could be behind any of those seats.
They could be anywhere.
Yeah. You're lucky you got out of there alive.
Thank
right?
you.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
How about you, Bean? Anything fun?
No, nothing.
Okay. Kevin?
Nothing.
I went to USC football game.
Oh.
That was fun.
That is fun.
Saturday night. Yeah.
You found mac and cheese? I saw that online.
I did find mac and cheese.
Excellent.
I was like, oh.
I was going to say, like, does an alarm go off, or do you have an app on your phone where it just shows you the nearest mac and cheese?
Oh, no, I just have a sense.
It's a sense. Uh-huh. Okay. Oh.
I can tell, like, going in, if I go to the right, there's no mac and cheese, but if I go to the left.
Okay.
I was with Allie. I thought it was like a Wi-Fi finder app, you know, except you have one for mac and cheese.
Don't be ridiculous.
You can just automatically find it.
He has a small tingle. Yes. Tells him where to go.
Mm-hmm. And Jensen, you just had baby, boring baby stuff?
Baby duty, and then I was also nursing a cold that I've now defeated.
Check you out.
Now, have you defeated it, or do you just believe you've defeated it?
No, I think I've done the work. Oh. Yeah, I've done the work. They're still, you know, it's still hanging out like, I'm here, like just in the way back.
Right.
But I've gotten most of it, and it's no longer with me.
All right.
Okay.
That's pretty quick.
Cool.
Thank you.
Behind a locked door. I like that.
Thank you.
Well, real quick, I want to hit this before we get on to today's excellent new Kevin Bean show. Because it is the 7th of September. That's always a big deal.
It's the 9th.
When I was a kid, I was really into the Guinness Book of World Records.
That works.
Yeah, that works.
Checks out for me.
What a surprise. Was that you too, Jensen?
Yeah, I loved it.
I used to buy the new book when it came out every year.
Every year. That and the Leonard Maltin movie book. Those were like the two things I was like, wow. When do those come in? I'd like ask the Crown Books near my house.
Kevin, were you
Dork Brothers?
Were you outside like I was playing with humans?
Yes, I saw a lot of people this weekend. Yeah.
Look, books were all we had, okay?
Yeah.
So this week, the Guinness Book of World Records 2020 is out.
Yes.
And there are some new records that I think are worth mentioning. Mm-hmm. Okay. For instance, a 112-pound woman, Michelle Lesko, is now in the book for downing 3.5 jars of mayonnaise in just 3 minutes.
Oh, that's so gross.
Super hot. Wait, I mean weird. That was weird. Weird, not hot.
You did say hot.
She ate over 5 pounds of mayonnaise.
Oh, me like it.
She, by the way, is a competitive eater, as you can imagine. She's ranked 10th in the world in Major League
Eating. It'd
be
a better story if she wasn't. She just like, come on, bring it on. I'm still hungry.
She also holds the world record for fastest time to eat a bowl of pasta, 26.69 seconds.
All right.
Okay. Which is fast. But 5 pounds of mayonnaise.
Mm. Yeah, no.
The most candles extinguished by nunchucks in 1 minute.
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
Now I had this record. I didn't know it was broken.
This is such a competitive field, so I'd love to hear where it ended up.
You whack the tip of the candles with nunchucks. His name is Zi Desheng. He is from China. How many in 1 minute do you suppose he was able to snuff out?
84.
54.
54?
120.
Jensen, great guess. 52.
Ooh. Oh,
very
52.
Cool.
That's because I've done 51. So I figured he's got to be at me.
You can do 51. Yeah.
The greatest variety of cheese on a pizza. Now, one might argue there is no amount of cheese on a pizza that could be too much, except if you're Allie and you're going to poop. But this pizza has 154 varieties of cheese on it.
That's a record for knowing there's that many cheeses.
Yes, there's a lot of cheeses. And I can't imagine there's much of any individual cheese, right?
Yeah, it's just like a little dot.
Yeah, I would think so,
too. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Don't know. Two more. Nilanshi Patel holds the record for the world's longest hair on a teenager.
Oh! On his head or somewhere else?
This is on her hair.
What the hell? You're going to see Jensen's face go from excitement to total disgust.
She is 16 years old. She's
finish it, please.
She's from Gujarat, India. She had a bad haircut at age 6 and vowed to never cut her hair again, and she hasn't. Her hair is now 5'7" long.
What?
Wow.
How do you live like that?
Which is taller than she is. It takes about an hour and a half to dry and comb her hair every day.
That's 2 chips.
That's right, yes.
Wow.
And finally, and this is a record that I used to hold, this is the most consecutive pinky pull-ups. You're doing a pull-up with your pinky.
No way.
This is Tazio Gavioli.
Is the record one?
This is Tazio Gavioli of Cavezzo, Italy. He did it 36 times.
How big are his pinkies?
The bigger question is, how did he lift his body weight with his pinkies?
Right.
Do we know his body weight?
It doesn't say
8 ounces
here.
He's a tiny man, baby.
He looks like a full-size human.
He's 4 weeks old.
He said that he took up the thankless task to show solidarity for his cat that lost its paw in an accident.
This story
I'm sure that meant a lot to the cat.
Yeah, can't believe we found something crazier than the pinky pull-up in this story.
Yes, exactly. By the way, so he did it 36 times. In case you're wondering, 68 times is the record for the most pull-ups in 1 minute. And he did with a pinky.
I don't know how you
36
do one.
Times.
A pull-up, like on a bar.
Yes, that's right, where you lift your head above the bar, yes.
Come on, with your pinky?
With your pinkies, yeah.
With your pinky on each hand or just
that's
one?
That's right.
Good. Okay. One hand.
No.
Well, that's a whole different record.
Okay.
For my emu that lost its foot.
I can send you this video if you'd like to see it.
I would.
Spank stuff? Is that for you, Allie?
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
So anyway, congratulations to all of the new world record holders in the Guinness Book of World Records. And Jensen and I will be seeing it in print later this week.
Truly, you must be very proud.
Truly awesome. My whole childhood, I used to see this one photo from the Guinness Book in my head for a whole year. But do you remember the woman with the long nails?
Yes. Oh, sure. There was either a black woman or an Indian man. Those were the two that had the longest nails.
Yeah.
I was so into them.
It was like embedded in my brain. I'd fall asleep and it would be like, nail people back.
Yes.
It'd be like in my nightmares.
Excellent work.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The worst thing to ever happen, period, full stop, hashtag, barf.
Huh.
You are, Bean says, you are not afraid of clowns.
That is correct.
You're just not.
Kevin is not afraid of spiders, mm-hmm. and you are not afraid of clowns.
No, I believe people are afraid of spiders. I question whether people are totally afraid of clowns or they just think they are because people told them to be.
I think maybe that's how it started, but I think they're terrified of clowns.
Because
really?
They've
yes.
been taught.
Maybe.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that's true. I don't know. Would you like to take that back today?
Oh, all right.
Eating something?
Yeah, I'm like, are we in a movie theater at a very specific point where I don't want to hear your rapper?
I'm having a Halls.
Do you not hear it in your headphones?
No.
What's happening?
He also, when he opens his bottle of water, you can always hear
yes!
it.
Yes!
I don't hear anything.
That's good news.
That's good to hear.
What?
And ranch dressing, what's up? All right, so we'll take a break.
We're not doing this again.
We'll take
now
a break.
Now with condiments? Come on.
The 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Vampire Weekend announced over the weekend that they're going on a huge tour to support Father of the Bride. Aren't they so fun live, Vampire Weekend?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Love them. Mm-hmm. Love that band. Love that album. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening on this Monday?
Well, we've got a little box office. Earning $91 million domestically, $185 million worldwide. It Chapter 2 topped the box office.
Now, is that what they were hoping for, or is that a little low?
Well, it's not as much as they made last year, or a few years ago. 2017, was it?
For It?
Yeah, it was $123 million domestically. So, 91 is 23.
Gosh, I love movies.
Like 2 million
left?
It's off by 30.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's unusual that the sequel to a huge smash hit doesn't open bigger.
It is. It is kind of unusual. And it didn't do as well with critics. They were a little less enamored of the sequel. It had a 65% fresh average critic rating over at Rotten Tomatoes versus an 86% fresh for It, the original.
Even with the kids scoring the winning touchdown?
There was no kid scoring a touchdown. You're just trying to be in the conversation.
But at the end, I do
you
know.
Too,
no,
over
I'm
there,
telling
Buster,
you. I do
opening
know.
Your halls.
I'm letting you know. I do know at the end that Pennywise, his father, does come back to play catch with him in this field.
In this weird
field. That they built, right? Mm.
Okay.
That is how it ends.
Honestly, might have been a better ending.
Not the same.
If we're being completely honest. Because, good Lord. Just saying. I literally was sitting there like, honestly.
Right. This isn't. Can't.
Yeah. And
we don't want to give anything away, but
I even thought, this is a callback to, because bad endings are kind of the thing.
It's the running joke in the thing.
The running joke in the, but they'll turn it around. But it's already 3 hours. How much longer am I sitting here?
Yeah.
Woo!
Huh? It all happened in a snow globe.
Right? That's the ending.
I think that's Is that Saint Elsewhere?
It is. Thank you. Thank you for getting that.
What an incredible reference and even a better recognition by
the
Alan.
Only reason, Allie. No, the only reason I know it was in a snow globe because we talked about the dumbest endings ever on television. Mm-hmm. And Bean brought that up and I'm like, there's no way it all took place in a snow globe. And I remember thinking that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So I appreciate the callback.
That's why I'm so surprised they used it again for it.
It was weird because he woke up from his dream, and it was just
him
all
and his
a
wife.
Dream. Him and his wife. And
sitting
you're like, but
bed.
That's not even the same wife from
Pennywise
the show.
Pennywise's wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Petty.
Wait, they were dead the whole time? They just hung out in that church, and
that's
they were in some sort of purgatory?
That's a TV show or? Lost. That's not.
All right, they're at a diner. And Journey is playing.
Sopranos. Come on, man.
I'm very confused as to what you guys saw then.
We saw It, Chapter 2. Jessica Chastain, James McAvoy, Bill Hader, all wonderful.
You're all great, yeah.
All wonderful. The ending. I feel like the ending could have... with the... Angel Has Fallen fell to number 2 in its third outing, followed up by Good Boys coming in at number 3. In its fourth weekend, not bad. Disney's The Lion King still holding strong, coming in number 4 in the top 5. And finally, rounding it all out, Overcomer.
Anyone?
Nope.
Someone ding it, though.
What?
Overcomer.
Is it? It's got to be God, right?
I would think. I will say this. At It Chapter 2, the previews.
Mm-hmm.
So they start this preview, and you're looking at Ewan McGregor, who I'm in already.
Right.
But then you see him looking in a mirror, and you see written backwards, you see red rum. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my God, he's Danny. You guys, Dr. Sleep. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sleep, you guys.
Yep. Very excited about that.
I am so pumped.
More importantly, Overcomer is about a high school basketball coach who volunteers to coach a troubled teen in long distance running.
Oh, that sounds
good. But it's
good.
Jesus.
It's religious. Yeah, it's Jesus.
It's got to be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, these are the stars. Sherry Rigby, Alex Kendrick, Aaron Wright Thompson, and Cameron Arnett. So the big stars are in this
Wow.
one.
Wow.
Okay.
They got everybody.
Yeah, they got everyone.
I mean, top 5, you guys. Yeah. With 3.8 million, which means who? What? Nope.
Wow.
No one went to the movies this weekend, apparently.
They're acting, but Jesus is the star.
Wow. All right.
I wonder if, this may be a dumb question, but I wonder if historically... the weekend the NFL begins is a little lower.
Oh, yeah.
Other weekends because people stay home to watch their football.
Mm-hmm. And it tends to be the first weekend that kids are back in school. They're back in that kind of school zone the first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What? They went back to school this past week. So then this weekend they're like, oh, no, I'm not going anywhere, Mom. I got to study.
I got to go to school zone
what
on Monday.
What am I doing? I don't know what I'm trying
Back to
say.
Back to school zone.
Bean, I think you're right. It's football.
Okay. All right. Everybody shape up because it's just now 6 o'clock, so now we can be heard. Okay.
Good God, what just happened? Some birthdays for you. Eric Stone Street. Yay. Constance Marie. Hugh Grant. Michelle Williams. Michael Bublé. And Adam Sandler.
I'm eventually trying to one day tell the truth. I don't know if I'm ever going to get there, but I'm slowly letting pieces of myself out there. And then maybe by the time I'm 85, I'll look back and say, all right, that about summed it up.
That's what Adam Sandler's known for, is telling the truth.
Wait, what? Why? Of all Adam Sandler clips, it's one like where he's talking to his therapist?
Yes.
What is that?
There's some lovely piano music.
What is that even written in as on your machine?
How'd you label it?
Adam Sandler emotional?
Clip you'll never play?
Adam Sandler on the truth. That was from the Oscars one year.
All right. Well, let's not play that again.
We are doing something special with the band Silver Sun Pickups, whom we all love on this program. They are doing a Sound Space pop-up at a secret location on September the 12th, which is later this week, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct.
I mean, depending who you ask, if it's Kevin or someone
on the calendar.
It's
Thursday. Seacoast from Hawthorne just won 2 tickets for that, and we have them for you every hour this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. This article came out of Yahoo, and I've never seen Beer Mug take a victory lap like he did when we discussed this article at our meeting recently. According to
if he's taking a victory lap, you know something's wrong.
Yeah. Come on. According to the Clorox company, who, by the way, own Hidden Valley Ranch.
That
dressing.
Clorox?
Ooh. Yes.
Really?
Don't know if people wanted to know that.
Well, I'm just nervous there's going to be a mix-up at the headquarters one day.
Good luck not thinking of bleach every time you eat ranch dressing now. They assert on Yahoo.com that ranch dressing is no longer just a dressing, but a full-fledged condiment supplanting other options. They claim that 70% of ranch dressing use now takes place somewhere outside of the salad bowl.
Nope.
Ranch is now replacing blue cheese on buffalo wings.
Well, blue cheese blows. That's the right decision.
Pushing ketchup off of plates for French fries.
I've seen it.
I like both.
Yeah.
And finding a role as a dipping sauce for things like popcorn and even pizza.
Popcorn's weird.
Yeah, that is strange.
That is weird.
But pizza, it's been
pizza forever.
It's been a soldier for a long time.
Let's just talk about some healthy options. People are dipping broccoli and celery and carrots in ranch.
Yeah. It sounds like none of you are disagreeing with the company saying that ranch is on the come.
Gross.
An expression. Ranch is a rising iconic flavor in food and culture today, says Jackie Klein, who heads up the brand studio in charge of Hidden Valley's marketing efforts. It's found its way into more than half of restaurant menus and 75% of homes in the United States. It is completely embedded in our culture.
Huh. At least it's healthy. So you got that going for you.
So
which is nice.
There's no controversy here. That it sounds like you guys are all signing off on it. At the bottom of this article,
it says at some point in the distant future, we will remember 2019 as the year that ranch took over ketchup's crown to become king of the condiments.
Slow your roll, bleach company.
But these numbers, though, are suggesting that that's already happening.
Plus, none of us really argued with much of that.
No, it's mostly right, but it is not the condiment of all condiments.
You can't just walk
in one day and say, I'm the king. The king is the ketchup.
And if anything, ranch is accompanying ketchup. Because I tell you.
Yeah, both are good.
When I use ranch, I also use ketchup at the same damn time.
That's why they combined
the ketchup and ranch.
That's my man.
So good.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that, and I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Ketchup and ranch together?
So good.
I mean, it's pretty tasty.
So good.
Like on the same french fry?
Yeah. On the same fry.
Huh.
But I think as long as you're putting ketchup on a hamburger.
People are putting ranch on
a hot
hamburger.
Dog.
People are putting ranch on a hot
no
dog.
No one's putting Not, ranch on they a hot
no
dog.
No one's putting on everything.
No one's Not putting ranch dog. On a hot dog. Kevin, you take it back.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
You take it back.
We've come to a middle ground.
Segment over.
There are ranch dressing-centric cookbooks now.
Come on.
Which there aren't for ketchup, apparently. Heinz has tried to trick people into buying more ketchup by fusing it with ranch. There is now ranch-flavored ketchup
that you
can buy.
Now, my wife is a ranch head, and she understands, like, you don't have to pick a side in this. She understands ketchup has a strong usage. There's a place for all of us in this world.
Okay, but if you have to rank, though, is the premise of the article correct, as Kevin pointed out? Will ranch overtake ketchup as America's number one condiment?
It never can, because it truly has its origins in salad dressing.
What difference does that make?
Yeah, but 70%, it says there's 70% of ranch use is not on a salad. That, to me, says that ranch has exploded.
Guys, have you ever dipped a Jack in the Box taco in their ranch? It's heaven
very specific.
In your mouth.
No,
heaven in your mouth.
Okay. Mugs just got so much drool on the microphone.
Real pint.
I get it, but I don't understand why people would think that it could walk in and just become king. It didn't walk in, man.
It's been laying the groundwork for years.
No, this article is basically ranch saying, I'm king now. You can't just say you're king and all of a sudden you're king. That's not how life works.
Correct. What do they have to do? They have to take down ketchup?
There are like radio stations that are like, we're number one in... the tiniest little city here, but we're number one.
Nope.
News organizations will say we're number one, and then on the bottom it's like, with Hispanics aged 12 to 14 who have another job outside. Like, can't do that. Mm-hmm. You're not the king just because you say you're the king.
Right, but I don't think
you're not
just...
Jamie, but the king of beepers.
But
wait,
they're not
JJ.
JJ, right.
See, Jamie said he was the king. He's not. It's JJ.
Allie, I agree with you, except that
JJ.
Ranch just didn't come out of nowhere with no evidence and say, hey, I am the king. They didn't do that at all. That was the bedspread king I was doing, by the way. Al, the bedspread king.
Wow.
What they did is they...
He's the king of bedspread.
year by year by year, got more and more popular and encroached more and more on ketchup's territory. And I'm telling you, I think I agree with the premise of this, that at one point, ranch is going to be bigger than ketchup. I think
But not now. They're not the king now.
It's going to put in work. It'll put in work. But right now, it's truly the King Ralph of condiments. It was given the title, but it doesn't deserve it yet. It has to show it could work as king.
Or is this an article by Big Tomato to drive us to buy more ketchup?
Mugs, I love the way your mind's working
No one's ever said that before.
It's by Tim Nelson. I'm reading it. It's just a guy named Tim.
He's the Big Tomato. That's his nickname.
It is 6:53.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means coming up right after the top of the hour. It's great news. First, Allie, what's happening?
What's happening is you loved her as Peggy Carter in Agent Carter. Right?
Sure did.
Hayley Atwell.
Yes.
Just a delight.
She was great.
Then seen most recently as Peggy Carter in Avengers Endgame. People were thrilled to see her. Well, guess what? She's trading in that Marvel Cinematic Universe, but not the spy life.
What?
Hayley Atwell, the next Mission Impossible lead.
Yeah. Interesting.
With Tom Cruise. How great is that?
All right.
Right?
I like that.
Not much is known about the upcoming Mission Impossible 7, other than Cruise will be returning along with Rebecca Ferguson, and Christopher McQuarrie will be writing and directing. But another Mission Impossible installment has already been announced, bringing the franchise to 8 movies total.
And by the way, I
still
think...
Still good?
They're still good.
Yeah.
All good.
I think all of them are good.
I don't think there has been a misstep. Mm-hmm. For Mission Impossible. She's so cute, too.
She's adorable.
We love her.
Yes, we do.
Is what I'm saying. So congrats to Hayley Atwell. That is good news. And Bean, I'm sure you already knew about this because you worked with her on The X-Files. You guys missed it. That was Bean's dream last week that he was playing Agent Mulder.
He was Fox Mulder, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. He was.
Brought in for the new season because they couldn't get David Duchovny.
My bad, yeah.
They decided I would do a better job.
Oh, did they?
It wasn't that they couldn't get him.
All right.
That's what they told you in the dream. I know the truth, yeah.
All right.
he talked to
Yes, I'm very excited about this news.
Gillian Anderson has joined The Crown. Bean loves himself The Crown.
Of course he does.
Mm-hmm. She'll be playing former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
That's a real favor to Margaret Thatcher.
That exactly. It absolutely is. Like, it's an interesting choice. Who should we get? Oh, one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Uh-huh.
Margaret.
It's going to be very difficult to watch that series and not be attracted to Margaret Thatcher. Which is not something I ever thought would happen.
They make amazing casting choices on that show, though.
Have any of you watched The Crown?
No, I just listened to you talk about it. You love it.
Well, you know, it's won a ton of, you know, Emmys and Golden Globes.
It's your Peaky Blinders, so no.
Right, but it's not just me, though. I'm saying it's universally beloved. Yeah, it's a great show. Great show.
I watched a few of the first season, but I found it kind of slow. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they were setting up the whole story, but I was like, I don't have time for this. Okay. Very busy. What, with another Peaky Blinders coming out?
Sure.
I'd rather die.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. You guys, I gotta figure Lori Loughlin and her husband are thinking to themselves... maybe we should have pled guilty. Maybe we should have taken that deal. Instead, we're facing 20 years in prison, and federal prosecutors just lowered their recommended sentence for Felicity Huffman to 1 month. That was on Friday. That's for her guilty plea in the college admissions scandal. That will be followed by 1 year of supervised release and a $20,000 fine. So that 1 month sentence will most likely be 1 day.
Couple days, yeah.
Maybe two. Yeah.
Robert.
So.
Did you guys read her letter this weekend?
Mm-mm.
The Felicity Huffman one?
She's just confused about parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like.
She didn't need to put it out.
Rambled a little long.
She was doing okay.
Could have done a couple sentences.
Here's the thing. You did the right thing at the beginning. You put out the statement, I was wrong, this is all me, my bad, I take full responsibility.
Yes.
Leave it at that. You're sentenced, just write, it's fair, I respect...
No oversell.
That's it.
Yeah, you've closed the deal.
I don't need to know that you were confused about parenting and what you should have done.
She basically wrote a long letter about how she's always felt sort of a lack of self-confidence in being a mother. Mm-hmm. And having two children with learning disabilities made it worse. Mm-hmm. And she always felt that at first her thing was she was just trying to help her child overcome those disadvantages.
But then she said, I just wanted them to have a fair chance.
Which she does admit, she goes, which is ironic.
Which is ironic because I donated hundreds of thousands of dollars for that fair chance.
And she also defends again a little bit about that she didn't do it with the second child because she came to her senses. And it's like, you don't need to do any of that.
Felicity,
you were winning.
You should have typed that out, then press delete. Like,
or just hand it to your therapist.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It was a strange choice. Yeah. But again, Massimo Genui and Lori Loughlin have to be sitting there going, what were we thinking? Why are
they not
going to
get 20 years?
No,
they won't
right?
get 20
There's
years.
No way.
But I think they won't get 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And they certainly won't just get supervised release and a $20,000 fine.
Yeah.
They could have done this much differently, you guys. And I'm sorry to be the one to tell you about this, but there seems to be a shortage of White Claw. People are...
I'm not sure our party bus to Vegas would have made it.
People are freaking out without White Claw. Yeah. Well, many hard seltzer-obsessed millennials are freaking out on Twitter over a nationwide shortage of White Claw. Stores reportedly can't keep the bubbly, low-calorie booze on the shelf due to sky-high demand, and millennials and Gen Z drinkers are in a panic, according to this article. The brand did confirm the shortage on Twitter Friday night when a concerned drinker tweeted, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. Please tell me you have someone working on this, White Claw. And they tweeted back, we have the best team in the business working on this. So everybody, let's calm down. Let's let White Claw figure this out. We're all going to be fine. However, another tweeter wrote, if you're having a Popeye's chicken sandwich with a White Claw this weekend, you have won the lottery. And I think they're
really
right.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
Has anyone tried it? Is it any good?
No, it's terrible.
They had it, yeah. Brad Williams brought some in here, and I believe you said it tasted like what throw-up smells like? Okay, I just added that.
I mean, there are different flavors.
Yeah. A couple
none of which are
much worse than...
Yes.
I had one that tasted like foot.
But even the best flavors are just subpar.
Is this very different from LaCroix?
No, it's extremely the same.
Oh.
With alcohol in it.
Yeah, LaCroix with alcohol is alcohol in it. It's like alcoholism. It's just like a whisper of like black cherry or whatever the flavor is.
Yeah,
but not good.
But mostly foot.
No. Yeah.
Hey, Allie, before you do birthdays.
Yeah.
Today is the most popular day of the year to be born. In the last 25 years, September 9th is the number one day for the most births in the United States.
Number one.
That was Beans.
Fun fact. Everyone knows it's September 7th.
So is it popular or is it just the day with the most births?
It's the day with the most births. So it's
So the guy that said it was popular.
Well, no.
He was wrong.
First in popularity of days to be born in the last 25 years.
Yeah, but, okay.
But are you choosing to be born on this day, or are most people just coming out of a hoo-ha?
I'm just saying.
We're just saying there's two different things.
Thank you, Mr. Noah.
One is the technical information that more people are born. The other is it's popular. Okay.
All right, I'm looking at a chart now.
It's soup's trendy to be born on September 9th.
I want to be picked on September 9th. Give me
I'm looking at a chart right now that lists the birth dates, and then the next column is popularity, where it's listed as first. And then the third column is conception, in case you're wondering. December 17th, apparently.
No one's wondering.
Is the common conception date for babies.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
The top five most popular birthdays in America.
No one's picking.
No, come on, let's hear.
Are all in September?
Oh, you're cutting out.
December. That's a shame.
Because
this was a great conversation.
But if you think about it, December, you're stressed out. It's the holidays. People are like, you got a lot of family visiting. I wouldn't think a lot of people were boning.
The theory,
it's Monday.
The theory, Allie, is that in a lot of places, it's colder and darker and wetter. Okay,
so what are we talking about?
You're making your own entertainment, and also around the holidays, people have time off, so there's more time to bone.
This radio person is the whole problem.
Okay, all right.
So happy birthday to everybody, I guess is what I'm saying today.
Because it's popular. Because
it's the most popular.
Yeah. Right. Read the studies.
Some birthdays for you. Eric Stone Street, Michelle Williams, Constance Marie, Hugh Grant, Michael Bublé, and Adam Sandler.
Wow. So, you're going to talk to us for an hour about popular birthdays and then not be ready for Adam Sandler.
I was ready. We all agreed it was a terrible clip last hour.
That
we
weren't going to play it. That's the only one you have. The only clip. One.
I actually told you at the time it was the only
one. Why do some people tune out?
I'm tuning out. Kevin, you're going to Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas this week? Next week, I guess. It's next week.
I'm going to try.
Black Keys, not Billie Eilish, yeah, Vampire Weekend, Portugal the Man, Of Monsters and Men, and so much more. We are giving away tickets all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock at 10 a.m. and at 5 p.m. Passes to Life is Beautiful in downtown Los Angeles. Also passes to the Life is Beautiful pool party series at the downtown Grand Hotel and Casino, too. A three-night hotel stay at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino and a $100 gas card. Again, right? Too much.
For one person.
Too much for one person.
Spread it around. We only have like six listeners. Wouldn't be that hard.
Seriously, 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Get all the details at krock.com.
You know my stance on watching the news.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
And sure. It's so overwhelmingly depressing. That's why we come in on Mondays and we do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
My story starts in Florida. Doesn't end there, though, because it has to be great news. So the great news comes from outside of Florida.
The end.
A Florida elementary school student obsessed with the University of Tennessee. Doesn't necessarily say why, but he wanted to represent the Volunteers during his elementary school's College Colors Day. But he didn't own any of their apparel. Mm-hmm. He's just a poor little kid, so he just took a piece of paper and he just drew UT on it in pencil. Very, very excited to go to school.
He's a huge fan of the University of Tennessee. He proudly made his own UT logo to wear on his shirt. But when other people teased him about it, well, it hurt his feelings.
So everybody started making fun of him because it was a homemade, kind of janky-looking T-shirt. But he was all excited to show everybody. Some of the girls at the lunch table next to him had made fun of his sign that he had attached to his shirt. He was devastated, according to his teacher. Hmm. So in the hopes of raising his spirits, his teacher said that she planned on buying him official University of Tennessee T-shirts. This is a teacher who doesn't get paid enough. Are those seagulls?
Yeah. Probably, you want a buoy again?
So she wanted to buy him a T-shirt just to kind of raise his spirits. Aww. So she put up on Facebook, hey, everybody, I've got this situation. This kid's really excited about it. Can anyone help?
The university eventually found out about what happened. They sent him a whole box of full official gear.
An entire box of shirts and hats and every other kind of thing that you could have for it.
Wow.
This little elementary kid was so, so excited. And the teacher said, my student was so amazed at all the goodies in the box, he proudly put on the jersey. And one of the many hats in the box, all who saw him had either goosebumps or tears while we explained that that he had inspired and touched the lives of so many people. Story's not over. University of Texas, Tennessee is not finished.
They were so impressed with his spirit, they turned his handmade logo into a real T-shirt. Sales for that shirt have been off the charts, with proceeds helping to support anti-bullying foundations.
You stop it,
amazing,
Tennessee.
Right?
That's
University
incredible.
Of Tennessee said, you know what? Let's print that shirt and sell it.
Wow.
And they did.
Oh, I'm looking at the shirt. It is
janky. It's a little elementary kid that just
amazing.
Wants to.
Amazing.
Yes. When I this is his mom said, when I told him his design was being made into a real shirt and people wanted to wear it, his jaw dropped. He had a big smile on his face. He walked taller, and I could tell that his confidence grew that day.
So suck it, mean girls at the table making fun of him.
I wish you were a better artist.
I don't think that's
not
the point.
The
because
he's a kid.
Okay. And that's my great news.
That is adorable. I can't even take it.
Such a sweet little kid.
He literally put it just on an orange T-shirt. He just put his.
It's a piece of paper.
Paper
that
on
he
it.
Wrote on it and just attached it to his shirt. But
I love him.
And then Tennessee sold it. How great is that?
I mean, are they going to give him any money for being the artist? I mean, is that something we need to...
It's already unraveling.
We kind of need to look into that.
And that's my terrible news.
All right. My story is about a block party complete with food, games. That can get kids pumped to head back to school. You see all your school friends at this block party. But for parents, the icing on the cake at this block party are the free school supplies and the free haircuts from barber Milan Denny. He's the owner of King Milan's Barbershop in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he knows firsthand how going back to school can be so hard on parents financially. He remembers his own childhood. He grew up in a single parent household. The pressure to have new shoes, just stuff in your backpack, let alone a fresh haircut your first day, like you're ready to go back to school, stuff he didn't have. So that's why he began giving away haircuts and school supplies. And on Labor Day, Milan and the other barbers started giving haircuts at 9 a.m., and they worked 12 hours, cutting more than 200 heads of kids' hair, which
200.
Is phenomenal. Here's the thing. They had pictures of this, too. In addition to the free haircuts, tons of barbecues lining the street outside. So people all came down. They put on a ton of food, grills lining the street, tons of barbecue. And then back-to-school supplies were collected from community donations, and those went into 200 backpacks as well. So not only was he getting them ready for school, looking fresh, but then sent them on their way with a full belly, a full backpack of school supplies, and just love, which is such an amazing thing. Just one guy in St. Paul, Minnesota,
yep,
doing that.
Can make that big a difference.
That's all it takes, is someone to think ahead and go, you know, it would be cool. I'll give them haircuts.
Can they won't be good because there's 200 students, but I'll whip through them. 30 seconds per
they're kid. All buzz cuts.
Beat it, kid.
You go to Milan? Okay, cool. No, it's just unbelievable and such a beautiful thing for him to do. King Milan's Barbershop in St. Paul, Minnesota. That is my great news.
And I'll close with a story about the Bahamas. I don't think we have begun to see the full devastation in the islands of the Bahamas. I mean, I've heard estimates of 90% of the island is destroyed. Where do you even start to
and
help?
And not just water on the floors, like no walls.
Yes,
destroyed.
Took out
that's
homes.
Right. Like the airport is gone, for instance. That's how bad this hurricane was. Well, a man walked into a Costco in Florida last week and left with 100 generators, all of which are headed to the Bahamas. He spent $49,285.70. Most of that comes from buying the 100 generators, but he also bought at Costco. You know, you can get a lot of stuff. He also bought enormous boxes of peas, beans, coffee, salt, pepper, and other essentials that made up the rest of his mega purchase from a Costco in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's all on its way to the Grand Bahamas. He figured out a way to get it there on boats and planes.
Wow.
About 100 generators and a truckload of food and chainsaws are going all over by boats and planes to the Marsh Harbor in Bahamas. It's terrible, and I'm sure you've seen the photos. A farmer from Jacksonville told CNN on Wednesday. He was there. He saw this going down. He is not the man who made the purchase because that person wants to be anonymous. Mm. He says it's more important to keep the focus on the people of the Bahamas. It's not important who he is, just that he wants to help. It's important that we help each other out. It's better than just sitting here. You see a need and you fill it. And again, this guy spent $50,000 of his own money to help people he will never see and never know and wanted to remain anonymous. It's only because somebody was there to report it that it happened. Is that just unbelievable?
That's amazing.
Wonderful.
I mean, one of the
unless
great...
you're the customer behind him, and then you go, "What the hell, man? Come on! How many generators does one guy need?
This is 10 items or less, you dick."
There is no story that we cannot find the bad part of, is there?
And that's my time for a little feature that we like to do called "Would you like to take that back?"
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
Why are you saying it like that with so much shame in your voice?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't like the punny kind of humor. Mm-hmm. Not my thing.
Well, explain what this segment is.
This is, listen, we don't have writers that write out words for us. We just wing it as we go. We try
I know you won't believe that.
Right?
It's shocking.
We try to make people laugh. Sometimes mm-hmm. we do. Sometimes not so much. Uh-huh. Sometimes we only make ourselves laugh.
Okay.
I'm going to say, by the way, and I don't know if I've ever brought this up before, but I think Kevin is a little bit judgy in this segment because he doesn't play, so it's easy for him to criticize those of us that do.
I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was not a tough sell.
All right. The first one is Allie.
Oh.
We were doing a phone topic about people who proposed by hiding the ring.
So your husband hid the ring. Tell us about it.
We were both working at home one day, and he's a sunset guy. So he pulled me out, and he's like, let's just watch the sunset. We'll go up on the deck. And he pulled a random flower from the side of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits down next to me, and he goes, babe, I want to spend every day watching sunsets for the rest of my life with you. And he slides off the chair and looks down at the flower. He goes, look at it. And there it was laying on its side inside the flower.
Oh, would you say he rose to the occasion?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, definitely.
Would you like to take that back?
Huh. That's see, because a rose is a flower.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone got it.
Yeah.
It's also a term.
Oh, forgot to mention this. We get them.
Allie,
you know I love you and I support you.
But, I'm taking that back.
But
don't
do
you
the
worry.
Right thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
don't you worry. Are. Yeah, okay, I'm taking it back.
Good idea.
Bean is next.
Oh.
Allie was doing What's Happening. She's doing a story about Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga getting together as a couple.
Mm-hmm. People are really, really wanting Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper to be a real life couple. They were recently rumored to have gone on a romantic getaway. And there were photos, you guys. You know, they're in a restaurant in Provence, and you see Mr. Cooper there eating with Lady Gaga.
Was she hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Oh, my God. Really? Kyle.
Really? Would you like to take that back?
All right, now let me just say this.
I was Muggs.
I just said this. Muggs was very excited. This is like the NFL when they call the original play, and then they go back and they look at it and they go, oh, maybe we're going to overturn that. Careful with what you do during the show.
Yeah.
Because you might be overruled.
He was doing the running man, waving his arms back and forth, yelling, yeah. Crazy.
B.
Would you like to take that back?
The joy that it brought Beer Mug alone.
See, Mugs, you ruined it.
Sorry, guys.
Makes me not want to take it back, so therefore I'm going to continue to hang with Mr. Cooper. I'm still here for it.
I'm a bad man, but it was good.
Up next is Bean.
Oh, come on.
Allie's doing a story about the TV show Ghosted on MTV.
I don't know how I feel about this new show that MTV is doing. Let me know your thoughts. It's, of course, from the network that brought you Catfish. This show is called Ghosted. It's going to feature hosts helping distraught individuals track down and confront former lovers, family members, friends, all in an effort to get to the bottom of why those people disappeared from their life.
Hmm. So the people who are tracking them down, would they be Ghostbusters?
Are you happy with that?
Who can you call?
I don't know, all right, I mean that is kind of what they're doing, isn't it?
Ghostbusters,
right? We'll have a chance to defend later.
We get it. All right. We understood it.
I'll see you in court.
Okay.
Would you like to take that back?
Honestly, the song brought
please,
us all around.
Please don't take that back.
Pre-song clip.
Yes. Pre-song awful,
but terrible.
But you got to take in the whole scene.
Yeah.
And then he saved it, I believe, with the song. Bean, your thoughts?
I can't believe I disagree with you guys.
Yes.
Are encouraging me to not take it back, and in fact, I am going to take it back.
Wow!
I thought it was just not quite a good fit. It was a little bit of a stretch. Ghostbusters, I
really
thought.
So, that one was a bit of a stretch.
So I'm going to throw that one back in the pond.
Okay.
All right. Next is Beer Mug.
Yes.
Whoa!
Not sure how many times
rare.
He's been in the file.
Very rare.
But he was talking about where he's going for the new K-Rock sticker. Where are you going today?
Today, I will be Hot Topic stop number 6 in Lakewood at 317 Lakewood Center Mall. Today, from 1 to 3 at the Lakewood Center Mall. And I always hear Lakewood is always up to no good.
Pyle, what's wrong with you?
A lot happening right now.
Wow.
Turn up.
Would you like to take that back?
Did you eat the microphone to do the joke? What? Why was it?
Always up
to no good. Whoa. Kevin's mic just kind of... look, I very rarely get to insert myself into the file cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
But this
is that a cabinet?
It is a cabinet. It's right in the back of the studio. But this was low. Normally, I wouldn't take it back, but this was low hanging fruit.
Okay,
that's why you should take it back, though.
That's why I'm going to take it back, Bean.
Okay,
I'm going to take it back.
Saying it's making sense.
That was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
All right. Allie is next. Hard to imagine. We were talking about the greatest musicians turned actors.
Okay.
And Jonah Ray was in the studio with us for this conversation.
The greatest musician turned actor is Will Smith.
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm comfortable with that.
I think it's
but
fair.
It's funny that DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince is the music that he did and then went on to acting.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But he won two Grammys with that.
Yeah.
Kevin just doesn't understand.
File it.
File.
Thank you, Jonah.
All right, Jonah. We cool?
I wasn't laughing with you.
Would you like to take that back?
It brought me so much joy when he said I wasn't laughing with you. That's the greatest. I'll go ahead and take that back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beat is next. We had Steve Aoki in the studio. He's talking about his new book, Blue, The Color of Noise. And Allie brings up his collaboration with the Backstreet Boys.
Can I just real quick bring up the Backstreet Boys? Because I did that story a couple weeks ago when it was announced. And I was like, that is not a collaboration I saw happening. I could not love that more.
Yeah, that's why I love doing collaborations like this where, I love doing the bangers for the festival crowds where everyone's going crazy. But then when you can work with an artist that can convey and push out feelings that make you just happy to be alive and happy, you know, to feel love.
You want it that way.
I cannot wait for people to hear
Would you like to take that back? Can we all agree that it's worse when there's a guest in the studio?
Steve Aoki was so serious during
then
it.
It's like we're all like, oh, we're embarrassed now.
He's like, I just like doing songs about suicide prevention and, like AIDS awareness and then just some pun thrown out of nowhere.
I have a Backstreet Boys song title.
Don't know why. I couldn't resist saying that. Yeah. I was biting my tongue. Don't say it.
Doesn't mean it's good.
Don't say it.
You should listen to that guy, that voice.
I'll take that one back.
Yeah. Right.
I will. I'll take it back.
And finally, for this episode of Would You Like to Take That Back, caller Daniel is on the phone. Good morning, Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Hey, guys.
So we were discussing our top five favorite fruits. Mm-hmm. And Daniel was talking to us on the phones, and he had listed one, and he had listed two, and he listed three, and he listed four. Are we agreeing on pineapple as number one, then?
Oh, it's definitely the show's
number Daniel's
one.
Well, Daniel's
not. Okay. Daniel, you have one more, right?
I have one more.
Okay.
And only because it's punny. Mango number five.
Oh, my God.
Can we file Daniel. A caller?
Yes, we can. He's We've fine. Done it before. File it.
You go to hell, you son of a bitch.
Would you like to take that back?
Why would you take back something so magical?
He's right.
Exactly.
He's
right. I 100% agree.
Exactly.
I agree. Well done, Daniel.
Congratulations to Karen Lozano from Huntington Park. Won access for two into the K-Rock and HD Radio Soundspace pop-up with the Silver Sun Pickups at a super location, a super secret location, I should say, on Thursday. We got them for you every hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And also still to come on today's show, a spot to play poker at Kevin's table for K-Rock Guys Night Out at the Bike.
This Friday night.
Friday night, yep. So we got that. You can win coming up. First, though, let's talk about cocaine.
If you want to hang out, you got to take her out. Cocaine.
It's funny that I said the word cocaine and magically DJ Omar Khan appeared.
Hey, guys. Weird, isn't it?
It's a
He's also jumping up and down and foaming at the mouth.
We haven't seen him for days. And all of a sudden we say the cocaine word and he appears in the studio.
Yeah.
This news report, I think, is going to make you think about what you would do if you were the person who found said items on the beach.
Hurricane Dorian possibly washed a brick of cocaine ashore in Melbourne, that is. Police say someone found this brick yesterday morning in Paradise Beach Park. They turned it over to an officer on patrol who then field tested it and confirmed it was cocaine. The brick there, which you see the letters D-I-A-M-A-N-T, was taken into custody. It will eventually be destroyed.
Oh. In my nose.
All right. So you're walking along the beach, and you see a brick of cocaine a brick of cocaine.
I want to smell it.
Nope.
Oh.
Cocaine.
Thank you. That has washed up. No,
you had cues for every single clip.
A kilo of cocaine is estimated to be worth between $20,000 and $30,000, and this a-hole turns it over to the police.
Cocaine, cocaine, cocaine.
So let's go around the room. Kevin, what do you do? Cocaine washes up at your feet.
As a businessman.
And a businessman.
You don't. Well done. You don't have the overhead costs of having to pay for it?
Mm-hmm. That seems like a large part
so
of it.
So you get all 20 to 30 grand.
Okay.
Right?
So you. With
so the
no...
cost out of my pocket, nothing.
Right.
Right.
Money going into my pocket, 30 grand.
Oh. Wait, wait, so you're going to start dealing coke? Is that your plan? You're going to start selling coke?
It's like Mother Earth's way of telling me this is what you should do.
Oh, okay. I'll get some free coke.
That's very much a sign.
So you've never sold drugs in your life
that you know of, right?
Right. But because it washes up at your feet, you're going, all right, I guess I'm now a dealer.
I mean, that's how it works.
Is that how it works?
Yes.
So you're going to get a bunch of scales and baggies and stuff?
And it's not just that it shows up. It's also that it shows up free.
Yeah. That's
you're
a good
like,
point.
You're Walter Whiter.
Mike Whiter, yes. How about you, Allie? What do you do?
Well, I would like to hear Omar's first because that's gonna determine
Don't
my
Don't let him
my
sway
line.
You.
No, I want to hear.
So, yeah, I walked in the room and I was like, guys, there's only one right answer.
And
you
I was
see,
waiting for
you
it.
You see a brick of cocaine on the beach or anywhere, you acknowledge it and you keep moving.
What?
That's
what?
It. You keep moving. You don't want any part of this because
Omar.
The cartel people are bad people.
But they don't know that that's on the beach right,
right
there.
They don't
They're
know
not
you
watching.
Have it. Listen, you don't know that. Okay, and all I'm saying is that people, they put trackers in these devices. Once things dry out, it might reactivate the trackers. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Somebody has a lot of experience in this world.
Who knows if they put a certain ingredient in the cocaine so once you start selling it.
I watch Mayans. I know
okay,
this happens.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you test, you put it in a little test tube, and then you shake it, and if it turns blue, it's pure.
No. I'm saying
or
like,
whatever.
They might put a secret ingredient to know it's a certain strain or whatever. So it's like this cartel, that's my product you're selling, bitch. I'm going to come and I'm going to kill you.
How are
Number
they
one,
know
that
it's
was
you, though?
Way too serious.
Right? Agreed.
It sounded real, to be honest with you.
How are they going to know it's you?
How do they even know where it went?
Once you start selling it and they're like, hey, we got the hookup. Dude, people talk.
No, you get a dude to sell it for you.
Exactly
you don't sell it yourself.
My point, which now oh, really? I don't have Omar. Really? Yeah. Here's what
you
I would do.
You don't know anything about business, man.
Here's what I would do.
Yeah.
It washes up. I'm like, whoa, cool. I put it in my knapsack. I take it home. I cut off a chunk for me, for some fun times.
Some for me, some for you.
Okay? And then I call someone like, say, an Omar, or someone that's not a pussy-ass
bitch. Well, you
have
Kev-Dog now. You have Kev-Dog now.
And then I call them and say, listen, this is yours. Give me 20%. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. Because
oh, you're
going
to negotiate with the cartel?
I want no, not the cartel. I'm doing this with a local dealer.
Yeah, but this schmo,
this is a street guy.
Once he gets chased down by the cartel, he's going to rat you out like that.
And
he's
then
flip
guess
on
what
you.
Happens? Yeah. They come to my house, and I'm like, wait, what are you even saying?
And then they're like,
that usually works for and that works for cartels.
Know what you're
and then they're
saying.
Like, we're talking about the 20% behind you that you clearly negotiated.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't. I'm so bad about it. I don't know what you're saying. And then I'm best friends with the cartel.
That's how you see it working.
I watch Mayans.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Mayans wouldn't tell you that.
No.
You would be best friends with the cartel.
My head would be blown off.
Right. Jensen?
Oh, I 100%. I'm like, I found coke! Someone come help! I would give up in 2 seconds.
I mean, before he found it, he'd be like, I feel like there's coke around.
Yeah.
Let's get out of
like,
here.
The cartel's name's on it. It's denied or whatever they wrote.
But also, you can't go to the cops, dude, because like...
I found it on the beach.
I'm telling you, you just leave it and you move on.
But don't
the
you worry,
like,
what if a kid finds it then? And then you're responsible for
then
the kid.
Then that kid is clean in his room real quick.
Yeah, totally. The parents are going to thank me. He's doing homework like crazy.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. All of you that saw It Chapter 2 this weekend, Bean says, you're not scared of clowns. You're
That's
just
right.
not. You're not scared of clowns.
That's right. The world is trying to convince you that you are scared of clowns, but you are not afraid of clowns. I will defend my position, and we will invite your input coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday morning.
Oh, people are terrified just by hearing that honk, right? Oh, there it is again.
So you're saying like nature versus nurture, basically.
That's right.
You're taught to be afraid of clowns.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
think that about like allergies also. Like, oh, you're not really allergic to tomato. You just don't like it or whatever. Like, you're thinking.
Sure. People that are wrong do think that.
All right.
And no one's afraid of spiders either.
Sounds like Hot Take Jones. I got to hand over the championship belt.
I killed 27 this weekend, just for the record.
Oh. Kevin, can I tell you a funny story? I traveled this weekend, and I got home and opened up my suitcase, and there was a very large spider in my suitcase that I brought with me, a very large spider. And he was difficult to catch because he kept running around in the suitcase, but I was able to finally get him and scoop him in my hand and take him and put him outside gently in a flower
bag. I'm happy for you.
And he is very, very happy, and he was a lovely spider.
That's sweet. That wasn't my experience.
For all people that are like, we don't even have brown recluse here in California. How would they even get here? In bean suitcase. We now know.
That's an excellent point, Allie.
Oh, for the love. Oh. Chased him around and then put him outside.
I did.
Oh, I'm going
to just keep it a bean.
Well, record collectors can rejoice because vinyl record sales went from nearly obsolete to the most profitable form of physical music. Records are projected to sell more units than CDs in 2019 for the first time since 1986, you guys.
Wow.
People are buying vinyl records.
Or people not buying CDs.
People are not buying CDs. Yeah. I think maybe plays both. A big part.
Yeah. I will tell you that I am now starting to see for the first time music that I want a physical copy of that is only available on vinyl, is not available on CD. The Girl in Red, who I have picked previously as a That's My Jam, I love her, and she's got an album out right now that vinyl only. Vinyl and streaming, no CD, so if I want it physically, I gotta buy the record.
Interesting. Well, vinyl records seem to be the most popular amongst classic rock fans. In 2018 alone, the Beatles sold over 300,000 vinyl records, while Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Fleetwood Mac, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, and Queen all sold over 100,000. Vinyl record, these are dudes that old!
Good point.
Thank you.
Well said.
Of course, streaming platforms still obviously the most dominant. Paid subscriptions to streaming platforms accounted for over 62% of total industry revenues. That's an interesting little
story. Bean and I continue to be proven correct. Everything we do.
I'm sorry?
I mean, we buy physical because
you're not... I'm sorry, but that means everything you do?
Yes.
Okay.
And...
everything.
You don't buy records. We're talking CDs are going to be obsolete is what they're saying.
No, well, you'll see in the end. Okay. When those horse show up with the soldiers of the apocalypse or whatever, locusts, bees, whatever it ends up being.
Right.
And Bean and I are listening to all the stuff we want to hear, reading all the books, watching all the movies.
Everybody's knocking on your door. Can we watch a movie with
Bean,
you?
Bean, are we letting anyone in?
No, I think you got to get in early on this one.
Yeah, we got.
I don't think there's room for latecomers.
Yeah, work to do.
There's only so much room on the boat. Mm-hmm.
It's a boat.
Wait,
now?
A boat?
Oh yeah, we own a boat together.
Oh,
it's got all our stuff in it. Yeah, all our media is in one boat. It's the USS Media.
In case you have to get away from your house, where all the people are,
we gotta go.
Right.
Well, because the oceans are going to be rising so much, the rest of you are going to be underwater. But Jensen are going to be on a boat, and we're going to be listening to some sweet, sweet music and watching some sweet, sweet movies.
Yep.
You do have this all figured out.
Oh yeah, we've played this out every scenario.
All right. Interesting. Well, good news for Kevin Hart. Told you last week, according to the latest reports, he had reportedly fractured his spine in three places. He's facing weeks of extensive rehab. However, he's up, able to walk, which is a huge deal. He has a positive mood, tries to radiate that to friends, but he's up, still in excruciating pain, but able to put one foot in front of the other, which is...
Dude, that's how you get dengue fever.
That's an odd choice. Okay.
Yes, and there's someone hammering below us.
Okay. Just making sure everybody heard that. That
we all heard it.
Weird. But Kevin Hart was riding in what experts tell TMZ was a death trap before it crashed. The 1970 Plymouth Barracuda lacked essential key safety features, and when the car crashed over Labor Day weekend, obviously horrific injuries resulted. Car experts tell TMZ that it is highly unusual for cars with 720 horsepower to be outfitted without a roll cage and a five-point harness. So, that's not good?
No, not if it flips.
dumb question.
Yeah.
They don't. I think I know the answer to this. They don't retroactively fit those old cars for airbags and things like that, right? So you're just. I mean,
you're on your own.
Yeah, you're on your own. I mean, yeah. And if the car is old enough, you don't even have seatbelts in it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Would you please hold the goddamn hammering?
Oh, there it is again. By the way, Todd Phillips' dark comic book film Joker won the Golden Lion Award at the 76th Venice International Film Festival over the weekend.
Can't wait.
Cementing
proving that people are not afraid of clowns.
No, they're afraid of clowns and they love it.
Cementing its place as a legitimate contender for the rest of the award season. And that award puts the spotlight on films that tend to go on and win other major awards. Roma, The Shape of Water. Those are the last two Golden Lion Award winners. So, clowns, right? I think that's what we're saying.
The other big news out of the film festival too is how much people loved Jennifer Lopez in Hustlers.
Yes. Oh.
And they say she's for sure going to be nominated for Best Actress, which was a shocker to hear. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that the movie is also great.
Yeah, people love it.
I love you, Poppy.
No, that.
I mean.
Right.
I mean, he's Dominican, she's Puerto Rican, but sure.
When you saw the trailer for that movie, you thought it was just a fun, you know, just sexy movie, right?
Yeah, or like not something that was going to get award consideration. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a real surprise. I mean, obviously we all know Jennifer Lopez has been great in, you know, Out
Many
of Sight
things,
and a couple of other things. Yeah. But I mean, this is the best review she's got of her whole life.
Yeah. They say this is the best she's done since Selena.
All right.
Bean says he can't take her seriously as a cop.
I have said that. Yes. Yeah. I have said that. But well, I can take her seriously as a stripper.
You are. Wow, that's
she's on a pole. He's in.
Bean at krock.com. Just trying to help you out, Kevin, so nobody thinks it was you.
Thank
that was
you.
Bean at krock.com. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Adam Sandler, Michael Bublé, Michelle Williams, Hugh Grant, Constance Murray, and Eric Stone Street. We love Eric Stone Street.
Agreed.
Am I allowed to say that you should be listening to us in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow?
No.
Nope.
I can't even say that without giving any further details?
Nope.
Nope.
Something special planned for tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.?
No. Nope.
You've already said too much.
No can do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you should be listening.
Thank you for saying first and asking second.
Kevin and Allie.
Yeah.
You guys both went to see the new It film over the weekend.
Sure did.
Had a lot of complaints about the ending.
It wasn't ideal.
It didn't thrill you when you were walking out of the theater.
Nope.
I haven't seen either of the It movies, but mm-hmm. is the thing about Pennywise, the scary thing about him is not that he's a clown. It's the things that he does, and it's the way that he behaves.
No,
right?
No.
Treats
he's
people.
Also a terrifying clown, guys. Let's be honest here.
It's both.
He's not a children's party clown.
Right.
He's got makeup. He looks mad. He looks like he hasn't showered in years. He's scary looking.
He's a crazy person.
Yes.
You're saying he's a scary clown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I reject that.
What?
I'm saying you would have him for dinner and have a great time with Pennywise.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you would invite him over.
Definitely not seen the movie.
He's gone bye-bye.
You would invite him over to watch the Saints on Monday Night Football tonight and love it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that's what you're saying.
People are being taught that clowns are scary when there's nothing really inherently scary about clowns. Look, an entire generation, multiple generations, grew up watching Bozo the Clown on TV and thinking he was hilarious. Watching Krusty the Clown on The Simpsons and thinking he was a funny character.
Having John Wayne Gacy at your house on weekends to celebrate and have a party.
Same. Everyone loved him.
Not a great example. But what I'm saying is, somewhere along the way, parents decided that they were going to start teaching their children that clowns were scary.
Well, I don't know that parents made the decision together. I think it's just maybe a societal thing.
I will say this, and I said on the air probably 6 months ago that nobody's really afraid of clowns. It's become kind of the in thing to be afraid of. And I'm sorry, the tweets I got from people that are like, oh, tell that to my psychiatrist. It's a real phobia. But I was a clown as a child. For 4 years
that
for Halloween.
That explains a lot.
I'm sure it does. But I was never afraid of being a clown. None of my friends were afraid of being a clown. But none of my friends were afraid when I showed up to elementary school.
Because they knew
in my
who
costume.
You were. I think the thing about clowns that flips people out is that they don't know who that person is. Mm-hmm. Clearly, there's a mask with a smile on it, and Who knows what's going on behind
okay,
it? Okay. Who knows what's going on behind it is the scary part.
But let me ask you this. Another example. I gave several, but another example. 100 years, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey had clowns in the circus. Okay, what I mean? Nope. The kids enjoyed the clowns. The kids loved the clowns. Did funny things getting in and out of cars and playing with balloons and stuff
sitting
like that.
Sitting in a nearby forest with a hatchet. Yeah, no, absolutely.
No. What I'm saying is there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, in our lifetimes where nobody was afraid of clowns, and then all of a sudden people started saying, oh, I'm afraid of clowns, and they're not.
Let me just play devil's advocate, and then we're going to take a phone call.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have an expert calling.
It's very possible that people learn to be a clown, like you're saying, Bean, and also that they're scared of clowns, that they are truly scared of clowns. Both can be true. You can't just say you're not a scared of clowns. That's ridiculous.
I love that you said a scared.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd put it that way. All right. The most famous clown on television has to be Cam from Modern Family, right?
Absolutely.
Who works as a clown on the show. Actor Eric Stonestreet, who, by the way, if I recall correctly, has clowned in real life.
He has.
Joins us on the phone right now. Eric, how are you, my friend?
Well, you know, I started my morning off great. It's my birthday, and then I hear people trashing clowns.
So. Oh, no.
Happy birthday,
Did you
Eric.
Know that today is the most popular day of the year for people to be born,
Again.
Eric? It's the most common birthday in America is today, September 9th.
He's still special.
So, thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
Bean, you and I are on the same side here, so don't turn me.
Right?
Oh, no, I'm not. Okay. Look, as a guy who has a lot of experience being a clown in real life and on TV, your thoughts, please.
Well, I texted Ali that you're 1,000% correct on it being a fad of being scared of clowns. I mean, does that mean that someone can't have a legitimate fear of someone dressed in a clown costume? But the idea, I mean, and you can see my social media when I post a picture or have posted a picture of Fizbo. I mean, the comments are like, I'm freaked out, I'm triggered, I'm scared, oh my God, creepy, and it's just...
Most of those are Ali.
No, never. No. I love Fizbo.
It's just so annoying because it's so popular and cool to say you're afraid of clowns. And, you know, clowns, think of what clowns, the spirit of a clown is. The spirit of a clown is to make you laugh and to give you joy. No.
Oh, not murder.
Kevin.
Sorry.
One guy.
That one guy was pretty famous.
Yeah, a lot of murders
that
for one guy.
That reminds me of an old Irish joke about sheep.
We got it.
No, you won't.
So you would, but wait a minute. Let me just say this again. Isn't it possible that they're taught to be afraid of clowns and yet are still petrified of clowns? You know what I mean? Like, both are true. You're right. Maybe it's not innate.
Well,
maybe
we were
taught to hate clowns or whatever.
Yeah, but people have legitimate fears of a lot of things. Like, we all are scared of something, but I'm saying the mass majority of people that say they're afraid of clowns are saying that because they think it's cool to say that.
Really?
That's right. Yes. How cool is it to say that? With Fizbo.
It's relatable because, now. Like, people will be like, yeah, me too. I'm totally afraid of clowns. You're not, though.
You're not. I mean, like, it's the same with Santa Claus. Like, people are afraid of Santa Claus when they're like five, you know,
no, they're
or
not.
Four,
That's...
and then they realize.
Kevin, of course they are.
When they're five?
Yes, kids are afraid of Santa Claus.
Have you ever seen pictures of kids being held, like you're trying to push your kid into the picture with
true,
Santa?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
terrified.
I was scared of Santa just because I was Jewish. I knew he was never coming to my house.
When I was a clown and I would, you know, in college and high school, I would perform for kids' parties and I would inevitably run into people that were scared. And we bridged that gap, but they weren't scared because of the reference of John Wayne Gacy and what I was potentially going to do to them. They were scared because of what Kevin said a second ago. It's like, well, you know, you're wearing makeup and you don't know what's coming at you here and you're taught how to, and then kids get over it. Once they see that you just want to make them a balloon animal or do a magic trick or,
Eat them.
Give them a piece of
drag them into the forest.
Stab their eyes with candles. By the way, these are all representations of scary clowns in media, right? We know all the It movies,
yeah.
Heath Ledger's Joker, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the Saw movies, that little thing on a bike is a clown.
Sure.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure, do you remember when they steal the bike and they look up and there's like a scary clown, ha ha ha, like laughing at them? These are all things I watched growing up.
So it's all society.
Yes.
But you could still be very afraid of clowns is my point.
I'm saying that there are some people that may have real relatable fear to a clown.
Yes.
But But that doesn't mean that everyone that says clowns freak them out and clowns are creepy are actually scared of clowns.
The people who are actually afraid, it's a tiny minority.
It's a bandwagon. What,
guess the percentage, Bean and Eric.
Like anything else, Bean, wouldn't you? Like 5% of people have...
5%?
I was going to give them 10. I was going to give them 10%, but no more than that. No more than that.
We'll split it at 7.
Okay. All right. All right, Fizbo.
Oh, you're the best, Eric.
You are the expert here, and I think what Eric says goes, by the way, because he knows what he's talking about from all sides. Thank you very much, as always, for
happy
listening
birthday.
And for calling it. And happy birthday.
Thank you. You're very welcome. I'm going to get a birthday clown for my party.
Yay! Hide the knives.
Thanks, Eric. All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, so who do we want now? Because we do have one more segment
people
for clown
people who
talk.
Are truly afraid of clowns, and you telling them they're not doesn't help at all.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
I'm still willing to do it. 1-800-520-1067. And if you are in the 7% that is actually afraid of clowns.
The made up 7%.
And is not just saying it because you think it's cool and trendy and hip to be afraid of clowns. Call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
You are not afraid of clowns.
I mean, it's a delightful sound. It's great.
We are taking your calls on the topic at 1-800-520-1067. I have backing from someone who knows, by the way, Fizbo himself, Eric Stone Street from Modern Family, agrees that maybe 7% of people are actually afraid of clowns.
You guys just made up that number.
They agreed. He went 5, Bean went 10.
They met the middle.
I heard it from an expert. Now you're downing expert testimony, Kevin.
But also, I'm right because we have a text from a 626 that said it was Poltergeist that freaked the hell out of me. Oh. Do you remember the clown in the corner of the
room?
Yes.
It's media that has made us feel that way, and we all feel it.
I had that same clown, and I put it in a rocking chair because it just delighted me as a kid.
Terrifying.
And, then you were killing animals?
No. When we saw Poltergeist as kids and we moved into a house with an oak tree in the front, I said, let's get rid of the oak tree. The clown's staying.
There you go.
See?
Let's go to George, line 2, 1-800-520-1067. George joins us from Long Beach. He claims, does he claim to be afraid of clowns? Or you just understand that other people are afraid of clowns, George?
A little bit of both. I am not afraid of clowns myself. Never have been. My point, the only reason I wanted to call was I read an article that said reason why people started becoming more afraid of clowns was the original It that came out on TV back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That brought the scary clown, or the clown in scary context, into the home.
And
millions of people saw it.
Georgie, do you...
Yes, dear.
Is it because your name is George and you know that they all float down here? Come on, Georgie.
No.
Hang up on him! He's terrifying already. Scary already.
Let's go.
We just talked to Georgie. He's all grown up.
Now he's in our lives. Now we're all going to go home and we're going to see something. Best.
This is a real turnaround, but I am now afraid of clowns. Let's go to line 4, Pasadena Megan. Let's see if we think she has a legitimate reason to fear clowns.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
So, yeah. Drunk clown, first birthday party. That's what happened. Yep. My dad was working for the papers and decided to hire someone to, you know, for my birthday party and entertain. And they got the first picture and, well, he reeked of alcohol and they had to ask him to leave. Terrified. Wow.
But you were one. You didn't know what was going on, right?
But I have that picture that I can look over and over and just, I do remember. I just remember saying, get this thing away from me. And I have a picture to prove it.
You've been afraid of clowns ever since.
You
should be, Megan. You should be.
All right. I reject you. Thank you, adults. Let's go to Josh, please, line 6, Anaheim, up next, calling about his girlfriend.
Morning, Josh.
Morning, guys.
Girlfriend afraid of clowns?
Yeah. Same thing as line 2, I believe. He said he was talking about the article about It. My girlfriend was forced to watch It as a kid by her grandfather, and he sat her down and said, you're going to watch this. And ever since then, she's just been... deathly afraid of clowns.
That's a good move by Grandpa.
Well, what? Tim Curry was a delight in it, so I can understand why he'd want her to see that.
I'm terrified to ask what else Grandpa was making her do. I mean, seriously.
Me like it.
Like a creepy dude. Thank you for the call. Hey, guys, our friend Clownvis is on the phone.
Yay! Oh, my God. Now I think all clowns are good.
Clownvis is... hey, Clownvis, you, by the way, are the perfect example of a clown who makes people happy, not makes them afraid.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that. And I'm so glad you guys are having this clownversation, because it needs to be said. These things need to be said. Bean, you're exactly right. To everybody saying you saw It in 1990 and that's why you're scared of clowns, that is baloney.
But wait, let me ask you about
Goodfellas,
like...
Goodfellas came out in 1990. Nobody's scared of little Italian guys.
Everyone's afraid of
great. Speak for yourself. Allie's on dating apps.
But what about, like, the Joker and all the movies and stuff? They're all... It's a painted-on happy face to hide the nasty blackness inside the heart.
The last time the Joker was cool was when he was chasing Scooby-Doo. Get that out of here.
although Joaquin Phoenix is not going to make it any easier for you to be a clown this year, Clownvis.
No, it is. It's a plight, and it's quite frankly, it's dangerous rhetoric. It needs to stop.
He's right.
When you are, when you're clowning... I don't think that's a word.
Clowning?
We'll accept
that's
it.
That's what I call it.
Clownving works.
When you're clownving, do you get reactions from little kids who are afraid even though you're a happy, smiley, singing clown?
No. Kids are normally just fine with it. I'd say about 7% of them are actually kids.
Well, let's get started. I assume we're going to talk about the Cardinals' big comeback against the Lions. Am I right? Who's with me?
Let me set the table first. I am delighted to tell you, Jensen, I hate to steal your get up on this thunder here, but I would like to get you guys up on a new show. In fact, a new channel available through our app, radio.com, where many of you stream K-Rock. Radio.com/sports has a show called Swings and Misses. And the hosts of those that program right there are in studio with us right now, Jen Sturger and Cody Decker.
Hi.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, what's
guys.
Up?
Great to see you. First of all, congratulations on the new show. Again, it's not on the radio, but you can stream it through the radio.com app. And you guys talk all things sports. And I imagine you're delighted as the rest of us that football is finally back.
Oh, my gosh. We were getting so tired of talking about preseason football. It's crazy.
The biggest the biggest waste of time month in the history of sports.
But to be fair, we were so grateful for Antonio Brown keeping it interesting.
Yeah, that's true. He did bring a lot of joy.
Yeah. Was that what you call it? Yes. I felt dead inside. Well,
if you're not a Raiders fan, I was fine with it.
Here's the problem. I am a Raiders fan.
Okay.
I'm born and raised a Raiders fan. I'm an L.A. Raiders fan, and I refuse to abandon my team, even though not only will they abandon me, but also four cities.
you're not better at all, though, and I like that about you.
Jed, let me ask you this, because you talked about the preseason. You know, this year we saw more starters than ever sit out the preseason. So last night, did it seem to you like yesterday was a little bit rusty for some of the teams?
Oh, my God. I just kept thinking yesterday, this is the perfect argument against preseason football, because everyone just looked like they were still shaking off the rust. They were still, like, getting acclimated. Some of them, it's like, just because you did it 8 months ago doesn't mean you can step right back into it and do it again. And
at least there were a tremendous amount of penalties called in every game.
Thank God.
You know how many nights out in Miami these dudes are still shaking off? It's week one. These guys barely get it together for this week. It's after this that they start picking it up.
Well, preseason, most of them are locked down in hotel rooms. You know what I mean? Like, they're not allowed to be going out and raging. Like, that's what's supposed
to be
happening.
That's why you get the Instagram thoughts to come to you.
you just Uber Eats for them.
That makes it easier than having to go to Live or whatever stupid name they give your Miami club.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I went through multiple spring trainings, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way anyone's locked up in their
thing. I was out drinking. Right?
Yeah.
But in baseball. It's barely a sport.
Oh, come on.
What? Oh,
say compared to football.
Oh, I'm sorry for playing 162 straight days.
All right. Speaking of shaking off the rust, so had Tom Brady played in the preseason, how many points would they have scored in the game against Pittsburgh last night?
147.
Wait, Tom Brady didn't sit out preseason, did he? He did.
I think he did, yeah.
Really?
He did.
Real. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the only one that looked like he had actually kept up with his stuff in the offseason.
I would have
he'd done his homework.
I would have kept all older quarterbacks out. There's no reason to risk that, I don't think.
I mean, he's 63 years old. He looks like he's 31.
He does. It's ridiculous.
And, you know, there's no reason to risk putting... But it's this catch-22. Everyone's like, well, he didn't get any reps in preseason, but if he goes out there and he gets hurt in preseason, what was he doing out there in preseason?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You can't win either way.
The Patriots looked last night like a team that is ready to win win the Super Bowl, right?
Playing well, I mean, against
yeah,
the
everyone
Pittsburgh
else should
team.
Just pack it up.
They just need one more.
It's over.
They need one more humongous piece. If only they could just get one more guy.
Oh, really?
More guy that just would come through.
They're missing something?
One big superstar, you know?
Ask Ben Roethlisberger if they're missing something this morning. He was livid.
Well, I just think that the Patriots finally have a chance to actually build a legacy for a final. This season. This is their shot.
Everybody's rooting for him. I know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys feel, because I guess we have a minute, we can talk about the Antonio Brown situation. Did you guys feel that he is a mastermind genius
this
entire thing was planned out? This was the entire intention all along, right?
100%.
100%. This is collusion of one man's mind. And it's worked. It worked because this is a rerun. I'm a Raider fan. I watched this exact same episode set 10 years ago.
You're getting all worked up.
He had the PTSD shakes last night. He's like, Jen is rubbing his back. Calm down, sweetie.
Calm down, Cody.
He's on fire. I'm sorry. Being a Raider fan is an endless nightmare hellscape that I cannot escape.
Don't worry, you're going to Vegas soon, so it's fine.
Good.
That'll come.
We're talking to swings and misses, Jen Sturger and Cody Decker. They are at radio.com. They have a sports program that airs 10 to 1 West Coast time, and we're catching up with you on the weekend of football. We might as well talk local here. Good start, two wins.
Absolutely. Yep.
What are your thoughts? Let's start with the Rams first.
One of them counted more than the other.
I thought the Rams looked pretty good, and you know, especially going across country over to Carolina, they completely neutralized Cam Newton, which Cam looked completely ineffective against that defense. And
he didn't look ineffective in his post, post game interview.
No, he looked like E.T. when he was dressed as a girl.
I thought he looked like a pirate. What the hell was he wearing?
He looked like Darkwing Duck.
I love the way he dresses because it's absurd.
I'm pretty sure that hat had barbed wire on it.
So weird.
What would he have worn had they won the game?
Oh
my goodness, rose petals?
Only.
I mean, it was a great look. But yeah, the Rams looked great. Their defense really kind of neutralized Cam almost entirely. He was very ineffective throughout the entire game. I was really enjoying that Chargers game, though, because I hate the Chargers, and I really was looking forward to them blowing that game.
How can you hate the Chargers? You played in San Diego.
Oh, that's also why I hate the Chargers. But no, it was something about watching the Colts almost pull away with that victory that I was just so excited.
How are they still in the run?
I mean, have no idea.
I figured losing your superstar would have you not even close.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a 20-point blowout.
But again, that speaks to we're still practically playing preseason football. Like, that's true. What it felt like.
No one's fully there.
No.
How many weeks does it take before we start feeling like, okay, everybody's in their rhythm? And
week 3-4 is when you start panicking, I think, if your fantasy team is doing poorly or you're, like, let's face it, everyone's office pool is done.
Yeah.
I mean, after this weekend.
All my picks were awful.
Excellent.
We were laughing at our picks.
Good to have you guys in. Yeah.
No, there were a couple
we're
teams.
We're the right show for you guys. Yeah. Then.
There was a couple teams that I was so, like, I drank the Kool-Aid because Vegas odds were so
Everyone
behind
drank
them.
The Kool-Aid on the Browns, though.
And the
so
Bears.
I don't feel good about
but
I'm
the not, Browns.
I had the Browns for sure winning. I have them coming out the gate. What is wrong with that team? Why did it? Why
they're
are they
Cleveland.
Not?
They're the Browns.
That's what starts.
Do you think there's an actual curse where they actually do start to believe that there's no way they can win no matter what?
Yeah.
You do think that, yeah?
I don't think that they think that they're going to lose.
Really?
I think they go in there optimistic.
But in the back of their mind, they know, look, we're just going to find a creative way.
They're like,
we're going
to lose.
At the end of the day, we're still Cleveland.
Yeah.
But we brought this up. We're like, is that whole city just cursed? Aside from the Cavaliers winning a few years ago, it's like, come on.
I mean, the Cleveland Indians haven't won a World Series since the 40s, and the Cavaliers stole one. And then you got the Browns, who only won when they moved to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. And they committed 18 penalties yesterday, too, by the way. So they were shooting themselves in the foot. All right, last question for you guys, and that is it true or was it an Onion headline that multiple players of the Miami Dolphins have requested to be traded after they lost by 50 points last night?
100% true.
True.
It's true?
True.
Yeah.
They came out and said, please get me off this team.
Do you guys ever remember that happening?
No, because I've never seen week one the entire team accusing the management of trying to tank. Keep in mind, you're the ones on the field losing by 50, but all these guys are trying to make us finish in last place, and you're doing it well on your own.
It felt a lot like a major league storyline. We're like, she wants to move the team to Miami. Yeah. They're in Miami. Yeah. Where is she going to take them?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot to chew on. Any thoughts before we say goodbye on the Monday night games?
Oh.
Your Raiders are playing.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm really excited about one thing.
You seem really optimistic.
Let me tell you, we're going to lose by 40, but here's the deal. here's the deal. The Raiders that I am excited about after losing Antonio Brown is that they brought back Keelan Doss. And if you watched Hard Knocks, you couldn't help but root for this kid, Keelan Doss. And now that they brought him back from the practice squad from Jacksonville, that's actually what I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Says something about a Raiders fan most excited about a practice squad player who got brought up when their superstar asked to be released.
Yep.
Good season ahead.
Yeah. It's going to be a great decade.
I love these two.
A great decade. Guys, the show is really, really fun.
You will enjoy it at
radio.com. You can stream it through your app from 10 till 1. It's called Swings and Misses. Jen Sturger, Cody Decker, thanks so much for stopping by. Really nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for having us.
This day in history with Old Man Ruben.
It was 1956, and I was innocently watching television until my cough medicine kicked in. When the Ed Sullivan Show came on, a young man named Elvis Presley changed the world that night by performing his music. Or at least what he called music. This hooligan was grinding and gyrating all over the stage, belting out songs that couldn't hold a torch to real singers like Mel Torme or Mississippi John Hurt. So I started a letter-writing campaign. I sent complaints to the FCC for over 400 days straight, trying to erase the filth called Elvis. I did the same for the Janet Jackson Super Bowl incident, Drew Barrymore flashing David Letterman, Red Shoe Diaries, that sexy MC Scat Cat, the satanic messages of Full House, Laverne and Shirley's plunging necklines, the tight baseball pants on Willie Stargell, Kevin and Bean.
See, because Ruben is old.
He's got a lot of time to write letters.
I'm writing him more and more into madness.
He's delivering it quite well.
Yes. Yes,
he is. I mean, I guess you've got plenty of time to write complaint letters if you're going to live forever like Ruben is.
He does them all in blood.
Of course he does. All right, 8:54 Monday morning. Allie is here. It's time for What Is Happening.
Well, we're going to talk some box office, you guys. It Chapter 2 topped the box office this weekend, earning $91 million domestically. That's against the first It opening 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
$123 million. So down quite a bit. But that's okay, right?
Is it spoiling if we give our general opinion of it?
No.
Oh, no, I don't think it's spoiling, no.
Okay.
Well, if you don't want to hear it,
then spoiler alert.
But we're not spoiling anything. You're just saying you didn't love it.
No, but I am saying something that I wouldn't want to hear before I go to sleep.
Okay, then spoiler alert.
Yes. Loved it till the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the end I thought was moronic.
Yeah.
So dumb.
It wasn't great.
So dumb.
Yeah.
That is not technically a spoiler alert. Well, but I'm saying I don't want to know. If I haven't seen the movie and I'm going, I don't want somebody to tell me that because
the end comes up, you're like, here comes the bad ending.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see that.
I will say this, Kevin. After 2 hours and 50 minutes of waiting for that ending, it wasn't as satisfying as you would have hoped it would have been.
No, it wasn't.
Gosh, yeah. I love movies.
I did like, and I said this earlier, that the interspersing of the characters as kids and them, of course, coming back in It Chapter 2, as them 27 years later. I liked seeing the interplay of them in the movie. I thought that was great. But there were some definite parts of the movie where I was like, wait, is this connected to... Nope.
The answer is no.
Okay, cool.
That's
so you
high
just
praise.
You just threw that in. Just
you
to...
guys think they'll make a third one?
They so far have said no.
Okay.
Without spoiling anything.
I was going to say, I would assume so, but...
No, they've said no so far, but then the director recently this weekend said there's folklore they could do beyond the book, and he would be interested in that. But as of right now, they've said that's the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
But money speaks.
Yes, it does.
As the famous saying, money speaks.
I think it's talks.
Sure.
But, okay, sure. Coming in number two, Angel Has Fallen. Good Boys coming in at number three, holding strong. Disney is the Lion King, still in the top five, coming in at number four. And then the top five placer, finisher?
Hmm?
Overcomer.
What?
None of that made sense. Coming in at number five, a movie none of us have really heard of, but it is...
That guy sounds like a lucky girl.
Wow. It's a religious movie, is what it is.
And she thanks Jesus for being such a lucky girl.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nobody wants that.
My husband.
Is what I'm saying, you guys. Nobody. That's why I came up with
that's not the goal?
The dating service, prostates. For men that have recently had prostate cancer. There's no chance of those people being in a movie called Overcomer.
Understood.
Okay.
That's why he wouldn't
walk around with his penis up.
Okay.
Okay. Possibly.
What that guy said.
Guys, did you hear about this guy, Peter Lawler? He's an Australian journalist. He was at a hotel in Manchester, England, bought a beer, cost $6.76. Well, he was charged $67,689 for that beer. The most expensive beer in history.
That's more.
He was issued an immediate refund with hotel management telling him, oh, the charge probably didn't even go through. Don't worry about it. It was taken out of his account a few days later. The bank said it'll take around 10 days for the refund to go back through.
They're not in a huge rush when it comes to refunds.
Also, sir, what's the BBC in Australia? Like, he's an Australian journalist that works for the BBC. What are they paying?
You have that in your account.
67 grand just sitting there with the same thing you're paying for a beer for.
In your checking.
What's going on, Peter? Right. Do you think you found a brick of cocaine
probably
at the beach?
Probably on the beach, yeah.
And
you did the right thing.
Yeah. Have you ever been overcharged for something and you're like, wait, is that right? And they're like, nope, you're fine.
I don't remember that.
Like, remember how it was always somebody charged for a phone bill or something where they add an extra zero at the end or two zeros at the end. So then you're in a fight with whatever company it is, that type of thing. It happens often.
I think I've reaped the benefits of the other way.
Of undercharging.
I think I've been undercharged for something before where it was like $50 and I got it for $5.
Oh, nice. See, I have such Catholic guilt that right. I just instantly got sad immediately. Like, how do I make this right?
I had Jewish excitement. So.
Very different. Very
two different,
different
things, yeah.
That was really funny. See, because some birthdays. Adam Sandler, Michael Bublé, Michelle Williams, Hugh Grant, Constance Marie, and Eric Stone Street.
Woohoo!
Love him.
Fizz freaking Bo.
Just ahead of great news. I'm watching football yesterday, and I saw the commercial for Rambo Last Blood.
Oh,
and I thought, oh my God, they pulled it off. they made a Rambo movie that looks like it should exist. You know what I mean? And Sylvester Stallone is still Rambo. It was pretty remarkable.
It's fantastic.
The Rambo Last Blood, The Legend Comes Home in theaters everywhere on September 20th. And on Wednesday, September 18th, they are the sponsors of this year's Kevin and Bean Blood Drive. It is called Rambo Give Blood. We want to give you the heads up now so you can plan to join us at the Hollywood Park Casino. Our man Beer Mug is going to be hosting that day. Starting at 5:30 a.m., you can show up and give blood. We've got tons of prizes just for coming down, including Knott's Scary Farm tickets and L.A. Comic-Con tickets and so much more. So from 5:30 until 3 p.m., at the Hollywood Park Casino. It's the annual Kevin and Bean Blood Drive. This year, it's Rambo Give Blood. Please come down and do it. It's a great, great cause, and you may walk away with some great, great prizes. You can get all the details at KROQ.com.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That's Matt Mason and Cringe at 941.
May I give you some fun facts about Mr. Mason?
Please.
Will they be fun?
He is from Virginia Beach, Virginia, where his parents played in Christian heavy metal bands while he was barred from listening to rock on the radio. That's a do as I say, not as I do kind of
household.
Have
they never heard of POD? The best of both worlds.
He grew up traveling with his parents' outreach ministry, gaining unlikely experience by performing in prisons and biker rallies, then fell into drugs, then into jail, then getting out and working construction for 12 hours a day while doing community service on his days off. And now I guess he's made something of himself because he's on K-Rock with a song called Cringe. Again, that is Matt Mason.
That was Beans.
Quarter hour.
Allie, what's happening?
You know what I would love? I would love for him to have made all that up and just been like, someone's going to be Googling my name for this song. And just put all of that.
None of it's true.
None of it's true.
I like it.
I love it. One thing I know is true, you guys. It's K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Yay! Hotel and Casino.
Friday night, can't wait.
Friday night. Or as it says on here, tonight. What is happening with you people? Good.
It's not tonight, it's Friday.
It's not tonight. Yeah. Right. At least the second sheet I have also says tonight.
All right.
You, right now.
What if I'm wrong and it's tonight?
And you just didn't know?
That'd be a big surprise.
That would be real
no,
bad.
No, it's Friday.
It is Friday night going down at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You, if your caller 21 right now, because you have to be 21 years old to play with the guys. And we're talking guys like Beer Mug, Omar. Well, he'll be spinning. Mm-hmm. Dave, the King of Mexico. Kevin.
Call now.
You're going to get to play at Kevin's table if you call right now and you're caller 21, 1-800-520-1067. And if that's not enough to sit next to Kevin and play poker, you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200.
That's right, bogus. Right now, our toll-free telephone number.
Yep, nope.
You're going to need it. It's 1-800-5800-TOM.
That's not the number. 1-800-520-1067. If I were you, go. Get the rack of chips.
No.
Get the money. Then get some cocktails. Then just watch. Right? Just be like, I'm just hanging out with drinks. Who
Here's
wants
why it's
drinks?
Bogus. Because I'm going to bet, and they're going to go... Got $200 from the casino. Right. What?
Yep.
Doesn't yeah, they're going to be in on every blind.
Well, I'll go ahead and call you. What I care?
Yeah, they're walking in richer than you are.
I can't lose.
Somebody call my mama.
So that's spot to play poker at Kevin's table up for grabs right now. Caller 21 at 1-800-520-1067. And
time
again,
to act is now. You do have some time, but that time is running out.
Again, it's K-Rock's guys' night out, so no women.
No women allowed.
That's
don't
not the rule.
Do not
are allowed.
Call.
No. Women are allowed.
No ladies allowed. That's why they call it 100%. Guys' night out.
Ladies can come.
Poorly named.
Please
really
show up.
A bummer.
Girls available.
Have a good ratio.
Not available, but welcome. Welcome.
Wow.
Welcome.
I should have led with that.
I meant welcome.
Definitely worth showing up.
I'm now interested in going to this.
Can we redo the whole setup?
You guys.
Girls are available, you guys.
Yes, I heard a guy on the radio say
Look.
It. The guy whose table you're trying to win to play at. He said, girls are available.
He may have misspoken.
Okay. Well said, Kevin.
Guys, it's upon us. The 7th annual We Can Survive concert. It's brought to you by our sister station here, 97.1 AMP Radio. It's going down to the iconic Hollywood Bowl on Saturday, October 19th. Would you like to hear the lineup?
Sure.
Because
that's what the drum roll's for.
Holy crap. Billie Eilish. Taylor Swift. Lizzo.
Wow.
Drum roll again. Much more. I've got more. Jonas Brothers. Camila Cabello. Marshmallow, Becky G. What?
I think that's
it.
That's it. Yeah.
And that is...
That's enough.
Enough. Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift, Lizzo, Marshmallow, Camila Cabello, Jonas Brothers, Becky G. What?
Dweezil Zappa.
Not Dweezil.
What, Amy Winehouse?
She will not be there. And
nope, don't need any more drum rolls.
$2 from each ticket sold benefits breast cancer research. So
Dr. Boogie.
I feel like you're getting all that show and you're giving money to a good cause as well. Again, it is the 7th annual We Can Survive concert. It's going down on October 19th, which is a Saturday at the Hollywood Bowl. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You guys,
but
that lineup
Dr. Boogie is not going to be there, though?
That lineup is nuts.
Yeah, that's a strong show right there.
Nuts.
That's a strong show right there.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see it.
Gosh, Taylor's going to be there.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. We don't need the...
We got the drum roll. Billie Eilish. Lizzo. Jonas Brothers. Marshmallow. Camila Cabello.
Bill Haley and his Comets.
None of the Comets will be there. Bill Haley.
Bill Haley?
Though. I don't know. Is he alive? Is he
no.
a No?
Take it easy.
Oh, my God. How would I know that?
He'd be a thousand.
75. That's why.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry for bringing it up.
No!
The disdain of someone who even knows who Bill Haley and the Comets are.
I was just outraged that you would think he would still be alive.
Bean still hurts from his death.
I do.
How'd he die, Bean?
He's old.
I thought they were like a 50s group, no?
Yes, they were a 50s group.
Then why wouldn't they be alive?
Because he's just not.
He was very
old
then.
When he died. All right, he died at 55, you guys, so he did die young.
Oh, wow.
But sold over 60 million records worldwide.
What was their big hit?
Nope, let's
keep moving. Rock Around the Clock.
Yeah. Oh, the Happy Day song?
Well, eventually, yes.
That's cool.
He also had See You Later, Alligator.
After a while, Crocodile?
Yeah, that was him.
I used to say that as a kid.
Shake, Rattle, and Roll, that was him, too.
He's got hits.
Bill Haley was a star.
Dead now.
Yeah, what happened in the Comets?
I don't...
Wow.
I see that we're out of time.
How many comments were there?
I think there were four.
Oh, one's alive, right?
Possibly.
Drama queen.
Let's look that up and have a full report tomorrow. Some birthdays for you. Michael Bublé, Michelle Williams, Hugh Grant, Constance Marie, Eric Stonestreet, and Adam Sandler. And we heard a guy say today's the most popular day for birthdays.
It is.
That's what's happening.
The most common day of the entire calendar year, because that's what the article said. It's the most popular day to be born.
But that's dumb because no. Okay.
I mean, you wouldn't have written it that way, but that's the way they wrote it.
Also, lead guitarist of Billy Haley in his comments, Franny Beecher, died in 2014.
Oh, no.
So close. In a nursing home.
So close.
So.
Thank you, Ellie and Jensen and Bean, on your drive home today. Tomorrow morning.
You nailed it, Kevin.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. People are dumb. One of the best comedians working today, Bill Burr, joins us in studio.
I'm going to sit that one out.
Nope, you got to be here.
I'm not going to.
Our old friend Gustavo Arellano will join us.
Oh, great.
And at 9 o'clock.
William F. Williamson was the steel guitar player for Bill Haley, and he passed away also in 1996.
There was a steel guitar in that band?
Well, they came out of country. Let's not get into it.
And at 9 o'clock, a very special guest.
Who?
Not allowed to say any more than that.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Are they alive?
9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You're going to want to listen.